See now.
This land we love belongs to all of us. Yet not everyone is treated equally. Right now, millions of Americans are fighting for the things promised to all by the Constitution. Learn how the ACLU is defending the right to vote, free speech, and other civil liberties at myaclu.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock. It's Tuesday. It's time for Off the Wall. Oh, yeah. Hits me every time. It's Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here. Kyle over there.
Hi.
Hot enough for you?
It's warm.
It's warm now. The heat wave hasn't even hit us yet.
Actually, I haven't seen that temperature in the studio yet
This
summer. So it is. We're at the edge of things.
Precipice is the word.
We're in unknown. Frontier territory.
So for those who don't know or don't care, we are on the eve of a heat wave that we've been warned about. Don't mess with the heat wave, they say. We have no intention of doing that. But our studio doesn't have air conditioning, so I don't know what we're supposed to do about that. It's going to get really hot, and if you're the kind of person that likes to be outside, well, you should be advised to not exert yourself too much. Hydrate. That means drink water. That's Kyle's doing that right now. Yeah. Be like Kyle. Be more like Kyle, and, yeah, and you'll enjoy the heat wave, maybe.
Yeah.
There's a heat warning for Wednesday and Thursday, and maybe part of Friday, and then there's a heat watch. I don't know what the difference is. I guess we're just looking for heat, and tomorrow and Thursday we're going to feel heat. Okay, whatever. It's nothing like what's going on in Europe, though. Oh, my God.
Watch out for humidity as well.
Oh, humidity, yeah. I hate humidity. But Europe has been experiencing temperatures. They're setting all-time highs, not just for the date, not just for the month, for any time. They're hitting temperatures they've never experienced before. And I can't help but think that we're not immune from that. So it's likely to get pretty bad here. Climate change is real, folks. This is it's not just weather. This has been happening now for years and years and years, and it doesn't seem to be going in the other direction. Weather, you know, it goes back and forth, and sometimes you have chilly summers, and sometimes you have hot summers. But the thing is, you know,
don't get stuck in this. It's just there's weather and there's climate.
And you know, it's you might say, oh, it's snowing, so therefore that proves that climate change isn't real. Okay, climate changes in different directions. You can have colder winters and hotter summers. That's climate change. All right? It's not just getting hotter. It's a variety of extremes. And we ought to be taking it a lot more seriously than we are taking it. So.
Yeah, the hallmark is that volatility. You get extremes and wide swings and unusual weather patterns, things that don't normally occur happening, and with populations or infrastructure that might not be able to handle it. And a big example is Europe's lack of air conditioning and the kinds of seasonal weather they're used to, and the way their buildings are, you know, certain populations become really, really vulnerable, and they have to make adjustments. And even in cities in the U.S. now, I mean, I think everywhere, it's really worth thinking about. You have like heat island effects over urban areas, and when it hits, it can create unusual and unforeseen problems.
Absolutely. We're lucky here on Long Island because we have water on either side and at the end. And if you go out east, it's generally a lot cooler. So there's ways of escaping. But there are many parts of the country and of the world where you can't escape. You're landlocked. You're in a desert even. And it just becomes almost impossible to live. And when you consider things are likely to get even worse, you know, we need a plan. We need to be not debating this anymore, but figuring out ways to survive. It's really kind of I realize what a bad week this has been in Europe. You know, with all the crazy heat that they're experiencing, but then to have both Germany and the Netherlands eliminated from the World Cup on the same day, won by South American upstart Paraguay. That I might add, the United States beat handily. And we saw that at Stony Brook, and the other by Morocco, which, by the way, is a pretty damn good team. So watch out for them. And right now, as we speak, Sweden is playing France. So that means another European team is going to be eliminated. Yeah, it's bloodshed is what it is.
It's the real drama and tragedy and heartbreak. It all comes out in these rounds when the competition gets real, and, you know, eliminated means eliminated, and you get to see these really proud countries and fascinating stories of upstarts or long time coming, you know, or long time veterans of the event that are making a comeback of some kind. So yeah, it really gets even more thrilling, and you see the passion and joy in watching and just cheering on the nations and teams at play.
Yeah. I've had a lot of fun watching it and just kind of getting into the different teams and different stories. And it's great fun. But, you know, it's really awesome to see Americans being turned on to this. Because when you realize how big it really is, how massive, and people all around the world not only are following this, but come here because the World Cup is in the United States, along with Canada and Mexico. And that is certainly something to notice. And I don't know, soccer just has this this uniting factor. And what I notice is that, you know, amongst the teams, amongst the fans even, there's this community, which you don't often see. You know, in soccer, you didn't always see this, where people are supportive and sharing stories, even if they're, you know, supporting the other side. That's kind of neat. Like in Brazil, for instance, when Japan lost, they were comforting the Japanese fans. They were, and that's really nice.
Well, and what's the event without a rival of that type? You have to have somebody to play, so you can't but love them, especially if it's a close event. You could have been in their shoes.
Absolutely.
So definitely it's worth empathizing and appreciating people for cheering their team on.
And, you know, you realize, too, you expect a team to handily beat another team. But then they both play a scoreless draw for the entire 90 minutes. And you realize, no, you know, there are no assumptions. If you play well, you might very well hold off a top-ranked team and have a complete upset. It could happen. We've seen, you know, a lot of teams that you expect to be eliminated not be eliminated. I didn't know Norway had never advanced beyond the group stage. Actually, no, never won a knockout game. Group stage is where you play three games against three other teams, and then if you have a high enough standing, you get to advance to what used to be the round of 16. Now it's the round of 32 because they expanded. And Norway had never won one of those games where it's win or lose. So that's something. Today they actually advanced to the round of 16. Tomorrow, it's the United States, our turn, playing Bosnia. And before you laugh at Bosnia, consider that the reason Italy isn't in the tournament this year is because of Bosnia. They're a pretty good team. And sometimes the size of the country doesn't matter at all. Was it Curacao? Cape Verde? All these new places that we never heard of before that are part of this. But it's emotional. You know, you see, did you ever see that video? It was on the TV show. Or was it the Wide World of Sports on ABC? It was on every Saturday afternoon. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And they would show these videos. I forget what the thrill of victory was because nobody remembers victory. But the agony of defeat was this poor person going down a hill on skis and just completely wiping out. And it was one of the most horrendous crashes I think I ever saw. And everybody in the country was familiar with that because everybody watched the show on the same day. But, yeah, that's they need to resurrect that, I think. It's an image that just sticks with you. All right, you know, I want to talk about stupidity a little bit because it's an important driving force in this country and in many countries. I saw a story in a publication called Politico. You've read Politico, haven't you, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm familiar, I think.
Yeah,
I've seen an article from them.
I think they're fairly intelligent, but this was the dumbest headline I think I've read all year. It basically said Democrats grapple with World Cup success. What the hell does that mean? Democrats grapple with World Cup success? I've never heard Democrats cheering for World Cup failure. I've seen critiques. I've seen that from left and right about the way FIFA operates, about the way things are coordinated, about long lines and expensive prices and things like that. But Democrats grapple with success. Okay, well, let's look at the story. Maybe the story's a little better. The triumph of the World Cup's first 2 weeks, boosting the U.S.'s global reputation with sold-out stadiums and few logistical complications, has forced Democrats, who had criticized President Donald Trump's role in preparations, to grudgingly reconsider. Okay, all right, now you're just a jerk. I don't have a name for this article, but, you know, that's probably... Oh, no, there it is. Adam Wren. Adam Wren, I don't know what you're smoking. But Democrats having trouble cheering on the World Cup. I'm super happy to see things working out. I am not happy with the prices. I'm not happy that people like me are completely shut out. You know, but I'm thrilled to see people from all over the world come to our country and enjoy themselves and realize that we're not all jerks. You know, we're not all idiots. We have a lot to offer. I'm thrilled to see the United States team do well and basically share all kinds of customs and food and just fun times with people from all over the world. That is what people have been pushing for. People who are not Trump fanboys are pushing for that. I might also point out to you, Adam, that every city that is hosting the World Cup is a blue city. So I don't even know where the logic comes from in this story, but let's continue reading it. I think that there was a little bit of like liberal wish casting that this would maybe be a disaster to sort of stick it to Trump, said Rob Flaherty, the digital democratic strategist and soccer fan who attended the U.S. group stage match with Australia. It hasn't yet been. Okay, I don't know what that sentence refers to because I got lost in the first sentence. So many clauses in that sentence. Can I read it again? I think that there was a little bit of like liberal wish casting that this would maybe be a disaster to sort of stick it to. Okay, whatever. Let's move on. Before the tournament, attitudes about the World Cup were polarizing like so much else along partisan lines, with Democrats confronting FIFA and the Trump administration over high ticket prices, shortfalls in public funding, and the government's posture to foreign visitors. Okay, well, let's look at that. I think Republicans and conservatives and even fascists were probably complaining about high ticket prices. I don't think that's just a Democratic complaint there. Shortfalls in public funding? You know, it would be nice if we had mass transit that served all our needs, but okay, fine. That's a Democratic complaint. I guess Republicans don't care. The government's posture to foreign visitors? Well, this is the mecca of foreign visitors right now. They're all visiting, and we're having a great time. Why would Democrats be upset at that? That's exactly what the goal was, to have many people come to this country and realize what a great country it is and make it better. You know, Republicans want to close the door on everybody. Stephen Miller has said virtually word for word that he doesn't want anybody who is not white to come into this country. He wants to punish people who try, legally or not. He is a fascist. He is a Nazi. He is one of the worst people on earth. And he is not a Democrat. That's for damn sure. This article, I just don't understand the point behind it. Okay, as the tournament approached, local officials in areas hosting matches, including New York City Mayor Zoran Mondani and New Jersey Governor Mickey Schirelle, turned from critics to cheerleaders. Well, I think that's because they did a good job of organizing things. Mickey Schirelle basically made sure that taxpayers didn't have to pay the inflated costs that FIFA was passing on, and forcing New Jersey to pay for all of the mass transit for everybody going to the game, and instead of having taxpayers cover that expense, let's have the people who are taking the damn train cover that expense. And some sponsors kicked in as well. So it actually worked out pretty well. I'm happy about that. And as for Mondani, he was able to find, 1,000 tickets to raffle off, so that people who otherwise could never make it to an event like this were able to attend for a minimal amount of money. I wish we had more people like that. That's a great success right there. Now a prominent congressional Democrat is going even farther, praising the U.S.'s handling of tournament logistics, if not giving the Trump administration explicit credit by name. If not, no. Definitely if not. Because why? He has nothing to do with this. This is all coordination on behalf of local government, cities, running things. You have not seen Trump at any of these events, have you? And if you do see Trump at one of these events, you remember how he was received at the Knicks game, you know, the only one they lost? He doesn't want to come to a World Cup game. He does not want to show his face there. I want him to show his face there. I'd love to see that, but I don't think he's particularly eager. This week, Representative Brendan Boyle, a Philadelphia Democrat active in foreign policy issues, called it a remarkable success and vowed to do everything I can to get the World Cup back here as soon as possible. Okay, that is not an endorsement of Trump or Republicans or anything. The article is trying to make Democrats out to be hypocrites for being enthused by the World Cup. If anything, Democrats are more enthused than people on the other side because they're open to different cultures and different sports and the world. You know, which party do you think has been hostile to all those things? It goes on with silliness like this, but I can understand media outlets that have an agenda that want to paint one side as evil, one side as good. But in this particular case, it just seems confused. It just seems like the person who wrote this thinks the Democrats just want everything to fail, and they're embarrassed when it doesn't fail. Of course, I'm not a Democrat, so I can't speak for Democrats, but I think I understand that there are very few people who want this to be a catastrophic failure. And I don't think Democrats are in that particular group. I just can't believe Politico printed something like this. And the funny thing is, you can't find this story anywhere. If you go to Politico and look for Democrats grapple with World Cup success, you won't find it. I had to go back to Twitter and find a post. And by clicking a few times on Twitter, I was able to get a link to the story, which is on Politico, but it's not searchable on Politico. So maybe they're embarrassed by it. I don't know. Let's move on. Stupidity is the theme? Okay. Speaking of Twitter, brings us to Truth Social, because they're pretty much the same thing right now. Trump posted this. I don't know if you saw this, Kyle. It's basically out of nowhere. The USA's new passport, which says, "Welcome, but be good." Signed, President DJT, Donald J. Trump. This particular
Wait. Welcome where?
Here, because apparently, I can't believe I'm saying this. Trump thinks that when people come to this country from other countries, they get a passport. The USA's new passport, which says welcome, but you don't say welcome to your own citizens. You know, they don't tell you welcome when you get a passport. They tell you welcome when you get a visa, maybe, you know, to visit this country or even a plane ticket or something like that, but not a passport.
Well, I'm already here.
Yeah. Well, you're already here, and you have a passport.
Yeah.
And
they but generally
say welcome.
I mean, yeah, some people aren't here and then eventually get passports through whatever processes, but typically, if you're getting a passport, it's because you're going to go away and then come back.
Yeah, and why would you say welcome if you're going away?
No,
it doesn't make any sense.
You're making it, like, more related to something it's not related to. Like, the activity is the preponderance
I'm
of
making
its
it
use.
That. He's making it that. He's the one saying
no,
welcome.
No, you're the pejorative him, yes. This sensitivity to something that people here get so that they can go somewhere and then come back. They're already welcome. Like, I mean,
this is a Fox News explanation that you're giving right now.
How can I be welcome in a place that I originate from? Like,
well,
what are you greeting me to my own house?
It's harder to be welcome in the place that you're from lately, but I get the feeling that he doesn't understand nearly what we assume he understands. And many of us assume he doesn't understand very much. But, you know, whenever you and people are doing this right now. They're driving on the expressway, shouting at their radio, saying, "This is Trump derangement syndrome." You know, whatever happened to Biden derangement syndrome? Do you remember when Biden was president? No matter what he did, he was incompetent. He was completely out of his mind. He was senile. Even though he was making all the right decisions, yeah, he didn't talk very well, he didn't walk very fast, but he made decisions that a lot of these people coincidentally didn't agree with. It was never called Biden derangement syndrome, though. And Democrats jumped on board as well because they want to be included and they didn't have the courage to actually defend him because he was hard to defend. All right. I think we defended him here because, you know, we saw what he was actually saying, what he was actually doing, and realized the danger of the alternative.
I agree wholly on a lot of this. And I just would say, like, you shouldn't even really have to address it. I mean, it's a lot of energy to like, explain something in terms that, I mean, are obvious to most outside observers. So I would just say to that, really, I don't know what they're talking about. And just continue to remind them you have no idea what they're talking about. Because it sounds like sort of made up to me. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to look at the sort of surface level issues here. And yeah, you can characterize things, come up with funny terms that, you know, are in jokes or something to you. But I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
doesn't that encompass exactly the explanation? I mean, sure, I can sit here and try to rationalize, but that's not where that label is coming from. So, like, I don't really know what you mean. We're out here talking about what's occurring, so I don't know.
That's the pejorative you again, right? It's not me.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, it's... I don't know. I just think Democrats need to do a better job of fighting, and you know they're afraid of that, and they're also afraid of embracing those that they disagree with on certain issues. You know, let's look at Mondani and how he is doing. He did really well with his endorsements of candidates, all of whom won. He's being called a kingmaker, and Democrats are running around screaming, panicking. This is nothing to panic about. This is good. You say you have a big tent. Well, this is where you prove it. You know, have people with different... look, we've got Fetterman, for God's sake. He is the same thing as a Republican, and I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. He basically stands up for everything that Trump stands up for, but yet somehow calls himself a Democrat. Yet he stays in the Democratic Party, and you guys are concerned over a Democratic Socialist? What are you panicking about? Do you think they're really going to completely take over the party? Well, if they do, it means that you're very weak and should be taken over. But if you have any actual sense and logic behind your platforms, you'll be able to argue your point and also welcome somebody with a slightly different view. And what Mondani is doing, I think, is tremendous. I mean, every time I see him addressing people, I'm blown away by the comfort, by the way he's able to relate to people. That, you know, if you haven't watched it, watch his New York Knicks speech when the Knicks won after the parade. The way he was able to just talk about everything involving the Knicks, including players of the past and just the mood of the day. You know, this guy is real. I didn't get that he was a politician. I didn't get that he was awkward. I got that he really was a fan, really was into. And it's funny because, you know, a Trump buddy and Knicks owner, James Dolan, was saying, oh, Mondani's not a real fan. ridiculous things like that. He opened a swimming pool the other day and jumped in a suit and tie with a bunch of kids. I mean, wouldn't Adams have done that? Would de Blasio have done that? I wish Giuliani had done that, but no, I can't think of a single other mayor that would do this. So, look, the guy is comfortable. The guy is popular. The guy knows what he's talking about. Engage with this. This is a good thing. You don't want him to be on the other side. You want him to be on your side. And that's how you make a difference. Look, the Democrats need to do things differently because what they've been doing is not working, and I think we can all agree on that. Even the conservatives can agree on that. So... this is an opportunity. Let's not be idiots about it.
Yeah, I would just say, like, present things that are perhaps not being covered or that he may be able to speak to or just galvanize support around and coordinate so that everybody's kind of position can be at least realized. That we know it might be a weakness and we should look at this ahead if we don't address it immediately. So,
Yeah, getting coordinated and communicating about where we're coming from or what might be missing, that could be something coming from people that are feeling like they're on the outside of that. But I think he should be able to just, I think he should just keep doing what he's doing, you know, like competence and having some joy and focusing on the priorities and the things, the obvious things, pitfalls, but key like agenda items and things on the schedule, you know, like don't lose track of the day to day and these like emergencies and stuff. Like they're not going to sit around and wait for some ribbon cutting. Like if we're having a heat wave, we need to be talking about it. And it, like every single day being out there, I think is his biggest strength. Like you said, if it's silly on the street, but he's doing 10 other things that are like critical as far as getting different city agencies rallied and provisioned and ready to go for whatever's coming up. That's competence. You can do that. And sticking to that, I think is, I mean, I think that's all he needs to do. The other people kind of need to just figure out how they can advocate if they feel like something's missing. But I think it's a good job so far and something people might want to consider. Maybe this this sort of thing that's being called an extreme of the party is an aspect of it, but not the entirety. And we need to pull our weight if we're not a part of that aspect.
Yeah, we talk about disagreeing with people. We talk about having debates, and you know, I think there's this tendency to view the person you're disagreeing with as your mortal enemy and somebody you don't want to engage with, somebody you can't talk to because you just don't see eye to eye. Look, Mondani has this amazing ability of being able to talk to the people he disagrees with and leaving them feeling like they're not his enemy. Trump is a good example of that. This guy can talk to Trump, and by doing that, by being able to talk to him and have Trump like the guy, he doesn't lose anything as far as what his platform is. He still says the same things he believes in, but he also is able to get things out of other people that is necessary to run a city, and he succeeded in doing that. That alone puts him ahead of any mayor in recent years. It just shows the maturity. People say, oh, he has no experience. Well, this is experience. I'm seeing a lot of experience here, and I'm learning from his experience. So, I just think it's we're very lucky to have this happening right now. You may not agree with what democratic socialism is. You may not even know what democratic socialism is. Look, can you follow along what's happening with this guy, what he is saying, what he's accomplishing? That's really all that matters. And I think there are some accomplishments that we're all going to recognize. And seeing how you deal with historical events like the World Cup, like the next championship, like all kinds of other things, heat waves and the things that happen in a city, we're all going to feel like a community. That's so important. Okay, I got mail from our congressman, Nick LoLota. Yeah, we talk about him quite a bit.
How is he?
We're so enamored with him. Well, he's still congressman, so he's okay. We're not. I want to read you what he sent to me. I think it probably was what he sent to everybody. It's Congressman Nick LoLota. Your email address gave that away. I'm fighting every day for lower taxes, clean water, secure elections, and a secure border for your family and mine. All right, Nick, I don't believe you as far as lower taxes, because taxes went up and deductions went down, and you kind of misled us by saying that you were able to reverse some of Trump's movements, but you only did that for a couple of years, and a couple of years they're going to come right back, right about when you're not in office anymore, so no one's going to blame you at that time. Clean water, really? Republicans for clean water? I don't know about that. I mean, look at what your predecessor, Lee Zeldin, is doing to clean water. I mean, he's almost literally urinating in it. It's disgusting what the head of the Environmental Protection Agency is doing with regards to environmental protection. He's all about business. He's all about saving money for the biggest corporations and screwing over the people from the communities he came from. And this is the guy that endorsed you. This is the guy that you want to follow in his footsteps. So, no, I forgive me. I don't believe you give a rat's ass about clean water. Secure elections? Well, secure elections. I guess as long as they go the way you want them to go. But every time you lose an election, which hasn't happened yet, let's hope we can get you some experience in that department, you accuse quote-unquote illegal immigrants of somehow being behind it. You know, you just want to get everybody to believe that the system is insecure and corrupt and fixed, and it's all a bunch of lies. You keep trying to push this Voter ID Act, which is nothing more than a thinly veiled attempt to have everybody in a national database and to eliminate as many people as possible from being able to vote, either because they have a different married name or they can't find their birth certificate or they don't have the right kind of enhanced ID, which will now be necessary. Most people don't have the right kind of credentials to satisfy what would be the requirements for a Voter ID Act. Again, there is no evidence that there is any kind of substantial fraud, and by substantial I mean more than a handful, literally a handful, of suspicious ballots in this country. I mean, we get the same news channels. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where all the fraud is taking place. You know, the only fraud that I can recount is what happened in 2000, where a particular party insisted that they won when every legal challenge proved that they didn't. And to this day, they still don't accept those results. Ask yourself this question, Nick. Did Trump lose the 2000 election? Say it out loud. Say it to his face. Can you do that? No, you can't. That is election fraud. That is the problem. Are you going to do something about that? And a secure border for your family and mine. Hey, you know, I have no problem with the border. The border's fine. You know, every time I cross the border, I'm welcomed on the other side. I don't know why we have to be so hateful about people who are coming here, much like our ancestors did, to get a better life. Why aren't we helping them? Why aren't we getting to know who they are? Why aren't we making it easier for them to come into this country? I read this week that Trump is bending over backwards to welcome Africans to this country. White South Africans. That's it. White South Africans. All the other Africans, no. No, there's no room for you. What is that? What do you call that? There's a word that sums that up. It's just tip of my tongue. Whatever. It doesn't.
Preference?
Yeah, preference.
Like racial preference?
Oh, yeah. It's got race in it. I know that. Okay, that was the first sentence of his email. Okay, meanwhile, going back to Nick here, meanwhile, Hochul and Mondani, see, they always bring up Mondani. Meanwhile, Hochul and Mondani are trying to make Long Island the sixth New York City borough. This is how they scare people on Long Island. Yes, Mondani has his eyes on your two-bedroom house in Mastic. Yeah, he wants to turn you into the second Bronx. Oh my God! You gotta get more weapons. Yeah, so they're trying to make Long Island the sixth New York City borough with their pro-criminal, sanctuary city, and socialist agenda. See, this is how the Republican Party intends to win elections on Long Island. I'd like to think we're smarter than that, but I don't know. Every time I drive on a road with a speed limit of 40 or more, I don't think we're that smart. I think we have a lot of idiots out there who will fall for this. And if they can find their polling place on election day, we're in big trouble. Pro-criminal? How exactly are they pro? I mean, I can point to how Trump is pro-criminal. He pardons people who have been convicted of crimes. Can't be more pro-criminal than that. He supports people who storm the Capitol building. That's kind of criminal. Pardons them. You know, beating up cops, all that? No, no big deal, because they're on my side. A sanctuary city? Sounds kind of nice to me. A sanctuary in a city. I like that. Yeah. Why don't we look at the problems of having a sanctuary city as opposed to a walled-off city? And socialist agenda. Do you even know what a socialist agenda is? Are you aware that libraries are socialist, that fire departments are socialist, that schools themselves are socialist? You know, the Scandinavian countries, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, all socialist. Not exactly the hell that you're trying to paint with your hatred of anyone who listens to that particular agenda. Okay, third sentence. I'm fighting back, but I can't do it alone. Are you alone? I mean, I'd like to think you're alone, but unfortunately, you've got some really terrible people standing in your corner. Don't know why you're reaching out to me. But anyway, Nick wants to know if I am with him, and I can tell him here. I'm going to give you the URL you can go to and tell him whatever is on your mind. It's one of those tiny URLs, so it's tinyurl.com/go-nick. Well done getting the personalized URL there, tinyurl.com/go-nick. Wow, okay. I don't know how you got my email address, but I enjoyed reading that, both to myself and out loud. All right. While we're on the subject of winners in politics, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman, also the Republican gubernatorial nominee, this week, it's had a busy week, he accused Democratic congressional nominee Brad Lander of anti-Semitism and said that Lander would be a camp guard in a concentration camp if he could. Now, keep in mind that the person he's accusing of being a camp guard in a concentration camp is Jewish. And, you know, also keep in mind that Bruce Blakeman is Jewish. And if anybody is going to be a camp guard, it's Blakeman because of the things he has said and done. It's basically Netanyahu level, what we're talking about here, as far as hatred of others that aren't like you and racism and just overall ignorance. Blakeman is the Nassau County executive that they, for some reason, keep electing, seeking to unseat Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. He made these comments last Wednesday on Newsmax. Where else would you make comments like that? Brad Lander, he's a disgrace. He's anti-American. He's anti-Semitic, even though he's Jewish. This guy would be a camp guard in a concentration camp if he could. He's a disaster. He's it sounds like Trump, the way he talks. And he's good buddies with Trump as well. Blakeman made the comments as part of a larger critique of Democratic Socialist and Progressive Democrats who defeated more moderate Democrats in a handful of New York City primaries last Tuesday. On Thursday, Democratic politicians and liberal Jewish advocacy groups criticized Blakeman's comments, calling them unacceptable. We'll go a step further. Call him unacceptable, because he is. Blakeman has been highly critical of progressive Democrats like Lander and Democratic Socialists like New York City Mayor Zoran Mondani for their stances on Israel and Gaza. And when you look at their stances on Israel and Gaza, they're basically saying, stop killing tens of thousands of innocent people. And apparently to people like Blakeman and people like Lolota, that is unacceptable, to criticize Israel for killing innocent civilians. It's got nothing to do with supporting Israel or not supporting Israel. It has to do with basic human rights, which apparently these guys think doesn't apply to Israel. No, they don't follow the world court because that's biased. They don't listen to the United Nations. They're biased. Everyone's anti-Semitic. Everyone's out to get us. We're just going to keep doing what we want to do and wonder why the world hates us. Lander ousted Representative Dan Goldman in the Democratic primary for the 10th Congressional District in a race where Israel was one of the main issues. Goldman, who is also Jewish, everyone's Jewish, was backed by groups that support Israel, like the lobbying group American Israel Public Affairs Committee. This is an example of what I was talking about. You know, in the Democratic Party, there are a lot of viewpoints, yet it's all the Democratic Party. It's interesting that the Republicans are more upset at the Democrats who won than the Democrats. I mean, the Democratic establishment is upset, but the Republicans are really upset. So that tells me that they're onto something, you know? Mondani has supported Lander, along with Democratic Socialist Danielisa Avila Chevalier and Claire Valdez in the primaries. Lander has called Israel's military actions in Gaza a genocide, which draws ire from conservatives. Well, good. I think we need to be drawing a lot of ire from them. All right, well, that's That's that particular story there. There are new laws aimed at ICE that took effect in New York, and Bruce Blakeman is very upset at this as well. It's called the Making Enforcement Law Transparent Act. MELTA? Okay, I'm not sure why what that acronym means. It's part of a push from state Democrats to regulate U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and promote transparency. But Nassau County Executive Blakeman says the move puts officers at risk. Let's explore this. Kathy Hochul is putting our cops in danger just to prove a dumb political point. He basically said that masks are necessary to protect people exposing law enforcement officers' identities online. Yeah, you're looking more like a camp guard every day. So now cops have to wear masks over their faces to protect themselves. That's now normal. Never used to be normal. The cop in the street, you knew his name. You know, it was a member of the community. But now you want it to be jackbooted thugs that wear masks like in Star Wars or something, and you think you're the good guys. The mask ban is part of a bill package signed by Hochul last month. Among the many changes is a new law prohibiting local law enforcement from partnering with ICE through a federal program known as 287G. ICE has two such agreements with Nassau. One with its police department and another with its sheriff's department. Hochul introduced the proposal in January, declaring that New Yorkers are feeling traumatized and stunned as they watch federal agents carry out unspeakable acts of violence in a country they no longer recognized. That, of course, after the incidents in Minnesota, where people were murdered by ICE. Blakeman has until August 27th. To terminate Nassau's contracts with ICE, or New York Attorney General Letitia James says she will pursue legal action. We will seek compliance through the courts, she said. I doubt that any municipality would be in contempt of the law at this point, and I'm confident that they will comply. Well, let's watch. Let's see what this guy who supposedly respects the law actually does when he comes up against the law.
Yeah, if it's something that we need to look at, I think everybody should be held to account in that forum.
Yeah, it's only fair. I mean, you know, I don't like when people think they're above the law, you know, and certainly Trump thinks that. Certainly a lot of people in the Republican Party think that. Certainly the state of Israel thinks that. It's not right. Sometimes, you know, today, for instance, the Supreme Court made a bunch of rulings. Some are good, some are bad. Angry about the ones that are bad, happy about the ones that are good. And we're going to keep fighting, obviously. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, I really hope that High Court differentiates itself from a lot of the party line of this current administration, because they have seemed so captive. And I think that's something everyone's really looking for in some of the decisions that have come down. I don't know if you can forecast about the court based on any of it, but it's certainly giving it an identity, or at least showing some attributes that aren't just so just disgustingly conformist with this, like just in lockstep and showing them to be really like in a like captive and in his pocket, in the president's pocket. That doesn't happen normally in the branches of government.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I want to go back to sports for a second, because this is just such a funny yet true headline. Rowdy Long Island golf fans criticized after U.S. Open at Shinnecock. You guys know there was a U.S. Open taking place out east?
Well, did you know there was a golf course out east?
Well, yeah, of course there is. Yeah, Long Island has a bad reputation as far as the sporting events. And one like golf, I mean, Golf is the sporting event where, you know, the fans are supposed to be quiet. Shh. Yeah, shut up already. It's like watching a game of chess. They need concentration, so you don't do things like, you know, distract them. I honestly, I don't know how you are a fan, though, at golf, because where do you stand? If you're standing where the guy hits the ball, you don't really see where the ball goes. You see it in the distance, but you can't really watch it. And if you're standing where it lands, okay, you don't really see his swing. You see it in the distance. And you could always get beamed by the ball, too. You don't know. So I never understood that. I never understood that. It's much better at home. Watch it on TV, just like with the World Cup. It's better. Okay, so anyway, Long Island's less than proud tradition of sports heckling. Did you know we had a tradition of sports heckling? We do. It reached new ground this week as a prominent golf commentator called the region's fans, you ready, Kyle? A stain on the game of golf. Mm-hmm. Speaking on, oh boy, you can't get more golf than this. Speaking on Golf Channel's Golf Today show, commentator Eamon Golf Lynch specified, okay, his name really isn't golf, but it could be, lest anyone think he was talking about fans from New York City or its northern suburbs, it's what we see every single time we go to Long Island, and this isn't a New York problem. It happens on Long Island every single time. I hear you. I hear you, Mr. Lynch. Absolutely. I don't know any of these golf fans either, but I know the mentality. Lynch, who could not be reached Tuesday for comment because he was being beaten to a pulp by Long Island golf fans, also told a fellow commentator the 2033 PGA Championship slated for Bethpage Black, that's what it's called? Okay. Should be held elsewhere because these people do not deserve a major championship. And that's in Nassau County. What do you think about that, Blakeman? Those are your people. Yeah. I mean, they are. They're loud. They're aggressive. They drive SUVs and pickup trucks and, you know, make a lot of noise. Anyway, the heckling in question took place over many holes and several days. I'm sorry. That's a tough sentence to get through. Let me try that one more time. The heckling in question took place over many holes and several days. I'm sorry, it's getting worse. During the U.S. Open at the normally staid, STAID, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, where fans loudly encouraged eventual champion Wyndham Clark to get in the bunker, get in the fescue, F-E-S-C-U-E?
Is that a pond?
I don't know what that is.
Maybe that's a pond. Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah. Why don't you ask Alexa? You know, Alexa has been giving us nothing but trouble today, refusing to listen to us.
Yeah, I think she's end-of-lifing herself.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And she was shutting me down in the middle of a request. I don't call them commands. It's a request. I'm saying, Alexa, play, and she says, she beeps in the middle of that. I'm not listening to you.
Yeah, or like plays an ad.
And then plays a random radio station when I ask for this radio station.
I got an ad for one of those betting markets.
No, this is wrong. It's an uprising. It's an uprising. Okay, so get in the fescue. We're going to find out what that is. Also, don't choke Wyndham. Well, that seems like friendly advice, doesn't it? But according to this article, none of this was meant kindly. A 2025 Golf Digest article. Oh, Kyle, I have a definition of fescue right here. Describe fescue as the long, wispy grass that grabs your club and forces you to thoroughly check for ticks. Really? There's a word for that? The long, wispy grass that grabs your club and forces you to thoroughly check for ticks. So fescue only exists when you're holding a golf club. What is it when you're not holding a golf club? The fan who told Wyndham not to choke got ejected from the venue. So the guy giving him friendly advice, don't choke, he gets kicked out. Some of these fans may have backed Scottie Scheffler, who was chasing a career Grand Slam. Some may have shunned Clark for his enraged demolition of a locker at Oakmont Country Club while missing the cut at last year's Open. Wait a minute, so the people that are doing the golfing, they're violent as well? And we're supposed to just be quiet for them? I don't think that's right. Lynch on the Golf Channel described Long Island fans as a particularly hardcore bunch, then seemed to suggest the culprits were a presumably smaller subset. You're going to love this, Kyle. of drunk crypto bros who buy a ticket with daddy's credit card and they've gone through life without ever being slapped for anything they've said.
Yeah, I've heard that's an entire species out here.
It's a species out here. Wow.
I am not of their world. And, yeah.
They keep inviting you, though.
I'm definitely watching them.
They keep inviting you to join them. And
oh, no. They don't know what I'll do.
Wow. This is fun. I like reading about this. In an email to Newsday, which is where this article comes from, a PGA of America spokesperson wrote that the organization remains committed to hosting the 2033, that's a long ways away, 2033 PGA Championship at Bethpage Black. Fans who cross the line will be removed from the property swiftly and without hesitation. Those fans haven't been born yet. The United States Golf Association, which runs the Open, did not respond to a request for comment. Instead, told everybody to shh. Even before last year's Ryder Cup, when fans at Bethpage Black heaped abuse on the victorious European team, shouting at Rory McIlroy, there's too many Roys in there, as he lined up to swing and putt and hitting his wife with a cup of beer. Whoa, hitting his wife with a cup of beer? Okay, this is just, it's out of control. During the, okay, we're going back to 2009 now, and then we're going to sign off because we're pretty much out of time. The U.S. Open also played at Bethpage. Newsday reported that dozens of beer-sodden fans taunted Tiger Woods as he prepared to start his third round in the rain. "We're on Long Island, baby, where men are men," one fan yelled. "Put that umbrella down." Okay, I guess having an umbrella makes you a sissy or something. They also shouted, "This bud's for you and you're fat," at other players. Okay, you know what? It's not that Long Island fans are loud. It's that their taunts just aren't that good. You can do better. Well, we have until 2033 to get it right. We are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for putting up with us. And we will be back again next week with another exciting edition of Off the Wall.
Bye.
Write to us, otw@2600.com. For Kyle, this is Emmanuel. Enjoy the World Cup. Good night. Sweet.
Sorry, will you?
I hate the ocean, and I hate the beach, and I hate the sun, and the grass, and the trees, and I hate heat.
It's summertime, summertime, sum, sum, summertime, 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 summertime.
On Wednesday, July 1st, join Paul Newland from Suburban Hymns and me, Mr. Edison, as we celebrate the summer season in song. Everything from summer romance, surfing and beach parties, to heatstroke, melanoma, and bug bites. The musical festivities will begin at 2 p.m. and will continue until Democracy Now! Airs at 5, with their usual good time summer vibes. That's Wednesday, July 1st, 2 to 5 in the hot afternoon, exclusively here on WUSB Stony Brook. Why? Because
it's summertime!
Hey there, this is Roger Hodgson, formerly of Supertramp, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.